In our Christian life, there are times that we wait on God. We pray, we wait. Things happen in life. We're used to instant stuff, instant coffee, instant tea. Turn a TV on. If I don't like that, I can tape it and watch the show again. Everything is kind of instant, and we expect it to be done now. And we wonder sometimes why God seems to wait or doesn't respond right away. Pastor Leo, you like this, came across this poem and thought about you. Here we go. Anybody hear the prayer of Cyrus Brown? Sam Walton Foss wrote it. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say, the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight in outstretched arms and wrapped in unturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow, with prostrate is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and head contrarily bowed. It seems to me his hands should be utterly clasped in front with both thumbs down toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hoggins Well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up, my head a-pointing down. And I prayed right there and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayerest prayer I ever prayed, I standing on my head. Sometimes I think we wonder, what should we do? Is there something in my life that I ought to do differently? Maybe God will hear me. Is there a proper way? Jesus tells his disciples in this parable that you just heard not to give up. You ever do something and you just want to give up? Probably don't want to admit it, but I've had situations like that. Even work situations, you know, you say, I've had enough of this. Later in life, as we age, we look at things and we said, I don't need to go through all this again. And he was telling his disciples, never give up on God. We're introduced to a word called justice. Justice is a little different in the Bible than it is in what we consider justice to be in the United States. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring the justice to the fatherless, and please the widow's cause. That's justice, is looking for those that are tread under and giving them attention. You can remember as the church had started, Paul even talked to Timothy. And one of the things that Timothy was instructed to do as for the church was to instruct them to have leaders and elders that would look after the widows, because others were busy preaching and giving the gospel, but there was a ministry to others, and that's what it looks. I guess if there's a title today, it would be Don't Lose Heart. Dwayne Cluck said, one of the biggest problems people face is discouragement. They even true when it comes to spiritual things. We have a tendency to think that everything should happen and it should happen quickly. Sometimes it does. We pray and wait and some more. After a while, we can be tempted to lose heart and give up. In the natural world, a farmer goes out, he plows a field, he plants the seed, and when he checks 2 or 3 weeks later, there are little green plants poking through the ground. But often in our spiritual lives, we sow seed, not seeing what will happen. And right away, you can keep doing the right things for weeks, for months, and sometimes years, and find yourself wondering, have I made a difference? Is God hearing me? A lot of missionaries have gone out from a church and went out to tell people about the Lord. And for some times, maybe years, nobody responded. And the church, when they bring the missionary back, would be looking for numbers of converts and things that they had done. And sadly, they were not able to go ahead and give numbers where people had made a difference and changed their lives. And then sometimes the church would be harsh on that missionary. And then later, what we saw is that somebody else would go out later and reap what God had sown through that missionary. We just don't know sometimes. We have to wait. And you'll see stories in the Bible. You go through the Old Testament, and you know Abraham's promise that his seed would be like that of the grains of sand. Didn't see it immediately. Moses, looking for a promised land, what God would have, and he got to see it, but he didn't get to go in it to live it. The Bible encourages us, let us not grow weary with doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. But how do we keep from losing heart? It helps to remember difficulties, obstacles, problems, that they're a normal part of our Christian life. Just because you experience those things doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing anything wrong. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. The reality is, anytime you attempt to move in a positive direction, there's going to be oppression, obstacles. Circumstances will get in the way, but there's great news. 1 John 4:4 says, ties the victory to yours. He says, you are God, little children, and you have come to them, because he who is in you is greater than the world. The psalmist David wrote, I would have lost heart unless I believe that I would see goodness from the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27:13. And if you study the Psalms, you see the emotion of David throughout the Psalms. And there are times in his life that he wondered if God would either forgive him or if God seemed him useful in any way. And he pours out to God. And he knows in his life that he's seen that. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe. And then there's a reward, a biblical reward. It says, believing three things, that God exists, he's a rewarder, and he'll reward when you seek him. That's faith, is that invisible tangent in Hebrews 11:1. Your confidence should be in God. The widow knew this. How? What'd you see in the story? Did she stop? She kept coming. And got to the point where she kept coming, and this judge thought that he better do something because he's just getting tired of her coming. Have you gone to the Lord over and over and over again with something that's in your life and you're wondering? It's interesting because this judge didn't really care. He tells you, he didn't care about God. He didn't even care what other people thought. He was a judge. And so what was Jesus trying to do with these disciples? He's trying to tell them, first of all, life as a disciple isn't going to be easy. You're going to run into some difficulties. There are going to be times of great joy, and you see God working, and then there's other times that you just wonder, when will you see fruit? When will you see something happen? But then he wants us and the disciples to look and compare this unjust judge versus the Almighty God, who is judge over everything. So let's look at some things in the passage. And you can cheat. You can look through your little thing there. What do you see? We see an unjust judge. First of all, we said he what? Doesn't want to be bothered. Know anybody like that? Try to do something. Try to give the word of God. Call them up. Become church. They won't be bothered. What about God? Is God a judge that doesn't want to be bothered? No. He asked that you come anytime, anywhere, Whatever's going on in your life, you can go to praise Him. You can go to ask Him for things. There are things you could just share your burden. You can cry to Him, and you can do it anywhere. The unjust judge was cold. Could you imagine being a friend of his? He don't care about your friendship. He said, I don't care what the other people think. He was very cold. He's self-centered. But what about our God? Our God is waiting for you to come to Him. He has offered His very best. He's not forcing you to come. He's asking that you think of it, and if you come, He's available, and He wants to show His love towards you. He's waiting. The unjust judge, you're going to meet him in the court where it's all official. Maybe even to the point that it's a little intimidating to be able to go into a courtroom. Anybody been in a courtroom? We won't ask you to raise your hands for whatever reason, but you've been in a courtroom? You know, you sit there and the judge is there, judge pronounces, you don't have much to say unless he asks you a question, and it's all formal. What about God? God tells us in Hebrews, if you're in Christ Jesus, as a person of Christ, you are now holy, and you can boldly come before the throne of God. You don't have to be intimidated where you're coming. You don't have to be intimidated why you're coming. He says, boldly come. So you can come. The unjust judge seems to me, I don't know about you, seems to be kind of rude. How about to you? Seem that way? You know, okay, I'll finally take care of you and I'll get you out of my way. What about God? God hears your petitions. He hears your cry. He knows you better than anyone else. You might come to church every Sunday and you might have a smile on your face, but inside there's a hurt. There's a burden. And God is waiting for you just to come. You don't have to worry. Come and cry to Him. Notice how He treats the lady. He calls her a widow. That's how He looks at her. She's a widow. Got to get the widow out of the way. How does God look at us? He doesn't look at our stature where we are. He looks at us as the what? Bride of Christ. How about that? In all that He has done and the work, He looks at us as children of the King. So there's a big difference. We can focus and look beyond and look at our belief by reminding us, as David did, I'm inquiring of the Lord. Jesus asked a question, though, in verse 8. Do you see it? He says, will I find, if when I return, somebody as faithful as this widow? What's our test today? Whatever you are experiencing in your life today, whatever you've been waiting for God to do in your life today, is your faith going to carry you through that you're so faithful that you continue to come to God? Remember the time of Noah? And God made judgment. What was it? A flood, right? And He looked for righteous people. How many righteous people did God find? That's one of your quizzes for the day. How many people? He found 8 people on the earth that were righteous. And He's saying, when I come again, will I find such in the world today? We can start wondering at when we look at what our world shape is in. Is there those of strong faith that He will see again? 2 Corinthians 15 through 18 says this, for all things for your sake, the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is just for a moment, worketh for us much more exceedingly and in the eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not for things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are not. The things that are not seen are eternal. May it be in our lives that we trust God, and even though we may not hear the response we want in the time we want, may we, like this widow, continue with our faith and stay strong. And when he returns, may he see this little group strong in faith and always relying on God and going to him with whatever petitions we might have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this little parable to remind us that you are a fair judge and that you are one that wants us to both become boldly towards you. We can come at any time, and though we may not see the things that we would want to see today, we can trust you, and we will have faith to call upon your name, and we will wait eagerly for your appearing and for you to work in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.